talking about mountains that we've had to endure and mountains that we've had to face. What a wonderful subject. What a wonderful reminder. Because I believe it's those mountains that we face that make us who we are. The experiences in life that we've been through that create us and come together to make this collective resume for the believer and for the Christian. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. There's good days in Christ and there's bad days. Some days as we look and move forward in Christ, we wonder, what did I sign up for? Did I sign up for this? Did I sign up for the days? But we have to believe and trust that if God has brought us to it, that He has the ability and the propensity to take us through it and to be there and to be our strength and our guide, even in the worst of times. Today, as we share in the Word of God, I was reluctant because I normally stick with one little scripture and I'll get the message out of there, but I have actually three verses, one verse in each passage that will help me bring out the message that I believe that God would have me to share with you today. And I talked with Pastor Jason last week and he assured me that last Sunday he preached all the way from Genesis to Revelation, so I have no problem sharing just these three verses now with you. If you have your Bibles and you want to share, I'll be coming from Psalm 27, verses 13. And for those taking notes, I know my church members are note takers. Psalm 27 and 13. Psalm 34 and 1. Psalm 34 and 1. And our last point will come out of Mark, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse. Psalm 27 and 13 reads as such. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And Mark 11 and 23 reads as such, and this is the Lord talking. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has asked shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Lord, it is once again that we ask you to anoint these lips of clay, that no flesh may glory in thy sight, but Lord, that you speak through me the words of life, and that you send your word with power. For when your word comes with power, not only is the yoke broken, but is totally destroyed. Let my mouth be your mouth, and my mind be your mind, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today, as the last 2 weeks, as you shared the mountains that you've had to endure, it's my understanding that you had the opportunity to share your testimony, which is a beautiful thing in the assembly of God's people, because the Bible tells us that we overcome by one another's testimony. Testimonies are great to hear because sometimes the enemy will give you this bad idea or this bad feeling that you're in this all along, that nobody's been through the things you've been through. Nobody has seen my pressure or my pain. Nobody has seen the burdens like I have. And it makes you even feel that you don't have a community that is loving on you and willing to go with you through the things that you're going through. And sometimes as we share, if you listen, sometimes I tell my church, you know, don't let your testimonies be so depressing. Because sometimes when we share our testimony, we pull all the good, bad stuff out because we feel like, you know, but that's what we experienced. We experienced that. We went through that. We had the pain of this. This is not us trying to put something together or make up something. We have experienced some things in our life. And it's just a testament or testimony that you're even still able to sit here with a smile on your face after some of the things that you've endured. There are some people that went through things that you've gone through and they couldn't deal with it like you dealt with it. You came to church and you prayed and you loved with people. Some people stopped by the ABC store and that doesn't stand for we know what that stands for. So the world They don't have the resources that God has given us. They go to things that is outside of the scope of God's love to try to find peace, to deal with these insurmountable things that life has the propensity to bring to us, because our faith has to be in the Lord. And so last couple of weeks, as we've shared the mountains that we've had to endure, yes, we probably dealt with a little bit of the pain, and we probably have dealt with a little bit of the pressure, but today I want to remind us to look at the perspective of the mountain. Because a lot of times God doesn't have to change our position to let us know that He's with us. Sometimes the only thing He needs to change is our perspective. How we look at the mountain, how big the mountain is. Do we think that the mountain is obtainable? Do we think that we have the power within us to climb this mountain that is in front of us? Today, as I deal with the perspective of the mountains that we've had to endure, I bring us to this guy by the name of David, who is the main character of our sermon today. I've chosen two passages of scripture that shares two very different times in David's life where David had to deal with mountains and endure mountains. And let me remind you right before I go into what we are dealing with in the particular text, who David is. David is somebody who's this humble fellow who just wanted to tend the sheep and serve his father and serve the land, but God had bigger plans for him. Sometimes when we look at the bigger plans of God, we'll easily say, Lord, that's not me. Just let me tend the sheep. Let me keep my hands clean. I'm fine with just sitting over here in the corner. I don't have to do anything. But the more that God requires us, the more mountains and things it seems like we have to face in life. David was minding his business, tending the sheep in the 11th chapter of Samuel. And God, as Saul had been excommunicated and God had taken the anointing off of Saul, he was preparing David to be used by him. And in Jesse's house, there was a king. But when Samuel goes to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, David is nowhere to be found. All the other brothers, the strong brothers, the intellectual brothers, the articulate brothers, they get in place. And don't we do that sometimes? We look at the outward appearance to try to figure out what it is that we're going to do or who we're going to use. But God sometimes uses the folks that is not the most likely to succeed. Sometimes He uses the folks that are not the who's who among us. Because that is the power of God. How He can take somebody that falls short some days. People that don't dot every I and sometimes leave T's uncrossed. God uses us to get glory out of our lives. But it takes our mountain experiences to push us to the place to understand that God can use even me. David is a man who early in age is put in a place that he has to deal with things that are larger than him. He's tending sheep, but when you tend sheep, there's the possibility that sometimes a bear or a lion will come and try to take one of the sheep, and David finds himself sometimes having to fight lions and bears. Now, I know you don't fight lions and bears, but some of y'all work with some lions and bears. I do. I have a couple on my job. But David is positioned to know that if God has brought me to this place, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8 and 28 says, all things work together for the good of them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. But all things aren't good, but all things work together for our good. I kind of design it sometimes as like baking a cake. At no time do I go and get flour out of the cabinet and just eat it, or never do I go and get some oil and just drink it. But if you put all those ingredients together and add some heat to it, after a while, there's this beautiful thing called a cake. I love cake. I know this black robe is very slimming, but I love cake. But it takes a process. And for God to make us and get out of us what He wants to get out of us, it takes a process. David, in our first passage that I chose, the text does not indicate what juncture or port David was when this text was written. David, I believe, gives us an overlay of his testimony of life. He starts out the text by saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David starts out this text by sharing with us the mountains he's had to endure. He said, I've had some haters. I've had some enemies in my life. I've had some people that didn't see it the way I saw it, and sometimes they were opposition against me. He says, but every time I had opposition, God turned it out to my favor because my hope and my faith was in the Lord. He says in the fourth verse, he says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have this resource called the church? Some people think it's a country club. Some people think it's a place where we can go and eat every now and then. I know church people love to eat. Sometimes we'll say, well, we're having a meeting. Well, what are we going to eat? No, what's the meeting about? No, what are we going to eat? We have this wonderful resource called the church, which is a rebuilding, a refueling, because I don't know about you, but sometimes on the slippery slopes of life, I get drained, and I don't feel the hymns of Zion. I don't feel the wonderful words that this Bible shares. I just feel the frustration of right now. And the church is the place to come. And David says that one thing I've made up in my mind, that no matter what I lose or no matter what comes in my life, I have not had a mind to forsake the things of God. Because how many of you know that if you lose everything, but you still have God, you have enough to start all over again? David goes on to say in the 27th Psalm, he says, when my mother and my father forsakes me, then the Lord will lift me up. David is not saying that your mother or dad turns your back on you, but there's this thing called life and reality. And our parents, the ones that love us, the one that nurtures us, the one that gives us direction in our life, they're not always with us. And sometimes the Lord takes them home, but we have this beautiful message inside of us of hope that they've instilled in us. And I don't know about you, but I believe that I'm even still living off the prayers of my grandmother and my mother that they prayed, that said, Lord, I don't know where my son is all the time. I don't know what he's doing all the time, but you keep him and you hold him and you keep him in the word of God that I've trained him. And I believe that's why the Bible tells us, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they get old, they may depart from it, but they'll come back to it. But you have to lay the foundation of faith that they will believe and trust that this God that mom and dad talked about, he is real. And he doesn't die and he does not change, but he lives forever. And even when our mother and father leaves us, God is there to embrace us. I believe my mother had a little piece of paper in her pocketbook. I just believe this. This is my belief. She never told me she did. But I believe she had this reminder every week to tell us, I'm not your friend, I'm your parent. She reminded us of every week. She reminded us every week, I think it was written down somewhere, that you don't have to do what I say, but as long as you don't have to stay here, but as long as you're here, you're going to do what I say. Thank you, Mom. I can say thank you now. I didn't understand it always, but I can say thank you now. David is sharing in Psalm 27 this testimony of mountains that he has to endure. But and the scripture, and he goes on to say that God will set you upon a rock and that God will give you a place in the place of your enemy. And it sounds really good. It sounds like David is enduring his mountains really good. It sounds like David has this thing all together, like he's the A-list of Christians. But David says, right before you get to the point that you want to praise me, and right before you want to get to the point to think I handle all my mountains good, I've got to be really honest with you. I've got to have a transparent moment. And in verse 13, he says, I would have fainted. I would have given up if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't have it all together. I'm glad I look good today, and I'm glad this suit and this robe and those clothes look good on us, but every day we don't have it together. And we depend on a God who gives us strength even in our weaknesses. So David, in his perspective in verse 27, he says, I almost fainted unless I believed. But then he says, but since I didn't faint, I've got some advice for you. Verse 14, he says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. If you can wait this thing out, if you can trust God, if you can see him even in the midst of it, and you wait on him, there's something working out a greater glory for you. There's three things that we're going to learn in this text today. The first thing that we learn in David in this first passage is that the mountains can be miserable. Mountains can be miserable. And I'm glad that you guys got it together. But sometimes if I'm having a bad day, give me one or two passes a year to have a bad day. Give me a pass of sometimes not coming here and smile, and give me a pass every now and then where I don't come and hug everybody, or I'm not the first one to speak. You speak to me, because I may be going through that miserable time in my life. that mountain that I'm in front of, I may not be able to see the sunshine that you're able to see from the position that you're standing in life. And it may cause me to close up in this shell and not be the exciting person that I normally can be, because I'm dealing with the miserable part of the mountain. Then we move on to verse 34 and 1. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall be continually in my mouth. Verse 27, chapter 27, verse 13 lets us know that mountains can be miserable. But verse chapter 34, verse 1 lets us know that mountains can be manageable. David at 34, at verse 34, is hiding out in a cave. He says something that sounds like he's praising God. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. But he's really hiding out in a cave from Saul, who is trying to kill him. Who's worshiping God when you're trying to be killed? Who's worshiping God when everything is coming against you? And it's amazing how this happens in verse 34, and I'll deal with it briefly. David is in this cave. David initially is in the palace. He's in the palace because Saul has been excommunicated and God has taken his spirit off of Saul, and Saul cannot sleep at night. When you have problems, it is hard to sleep. If you have a toothache, it hurts worse at night. Everything happens at night. You get that moment to lay down and think about everything, and it hinders your sleep. And Saul has moments to think about it, and it's hindering his sleep, and he can't sleep. And when you can't sleep, you find things to help you. And Saul reaches out to his friends to say, what can I take? What prescription? What over-the-counter can I get? And his servant says, there's this boy by the name of David who plays the harp skillfully. If you send for him, he can play the harp and you can go to sleep. And David comes at the request of the king to play the harp. And Saul goes to sleep. And David immediately finds favor with Saul. And while he's there, he overhears this conversation. He overhears this conversation where everybody's antagonizing about this giant by the name of Goliath. And David says to Saul, I heard y'all discussing about this giant that you guys are scared of. I feel like I can defeat this giant. Saul says, boy, you better go sit down somewhere. This is not no little boy's feat. This is a big giant. Goliath was 9.5 feet tall. And David begins to tell Saul his resume, because David's perspective is not distorted by what he's going through. And sometimes when we tell our testimony, yeah, tell the pressure, tell the pain, but tell the joy of going through. And David reminds Saul, he said, there were times that there was lions or bears that came to take the sheep, and I would grab the sheep and the bear. He's talking big. You know, men, we make our stories this big. And he's telling them, he's saying, there was times that there was sheep, bear and lions that would come and try to take the sheep, and I would grab the bear and I would grab the lion until he would release the sheep. And I'll do the same thing to this uncircumcised Philistine. And he proves himself. 5 stones and a slingshot. He defeats the Philistine giant and cuts his head off and delivers his sword to them to remind them of what he was able to do. And when they come back in town, the women are singing. Now, women can mess a man up. Don't, women, watch how you sing to men now. If you don't want to keep them around, don't sing to them. The women are singing in the streets that Saul has killed thousands, but David has killed 10,000s. And the same Saul that was loving on David when he was just playing the harp and helping him sleep, now that David is getting more praise than he is, he's upset. And instead of wanting to rejoice and celebrate David, he wants David dead. Isn't it something how something can start out so good and has the ability to turn out so bad? And now David, that was free to come to the palace anytime he wanted to, is now on the run. But instead of throwing in the towel, instead of writing his resignation, instead of saying, I quit, David says, I'm going to bless the Lord. Because even though I'm in the midst of this place, even though I'm in the midst of this big mountain, God has not forsaken me. I'm going to put on my robe on Sunday and I'm going to sing. I'm going to get on that piano. I'm going to sit in that pew. I'm going to have communion. I'm going to share, because God is with me. Even in the storm, even when I'm hiding out, David lets us know that the mountain is manageable. in my closing, not only is the mountain miserable at some times, and not only is it manageable, but in Mark, the 11th chapter, Jesus is talking to us, and he's saying that I'm a God that loves you so much that even if the mountain is too miserable, and even if it seems not, it's not manageable, if you have faith in me, the mountain is movable. He says, if you look at the mountain and it looks like it's too much for you to handle, you can come to me as your God and your Savior, and you can pray to me by faith, and I will move that mountain out of your way. You can speak to the mountain, because I've given you mountain moving authority to speak to the mountain, and the mountains be moved in your life. God has given us, he said, power of life and death is in our tongue. We can speak things, and a lot of times our silence is worse than our speaking. Our silence in our community, when there's something that we don't agree with. And sometimes our silence lets the enemy know that I can do whatever I want to, because the church is not going to say anything. They're not, people that have morals and values are going to sit down because it's okay to be quiet. It's not okay to be quiet when God has given you the authority in your mouth to speak up. And this morning, I pushed the ticket a little bit in my church, and I don't want to push the ticket too much anywhere else when I'm visiting somewhere, because I want to come back. But there's things that we need to open our mouth about. Third trimester abortion, I'm going to say it. Open your mouth. Speak to that mountain. Genderless children, raising your children genderless. Open your mouth. Speak to that mountain. Tell that mountain to be moved. God has given the church authority. Sorry, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm done. But the mountain is movable. And it doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how many people are with you and how many people is against you. He said one can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10,000. If you've got God, God plus anything is the majority. God plus anything is the majority. So I remind you today, as we deal with this mountain moving experience and the things and how we deal with our mountains, to not just think about the pain of the mountain, not to just think about the pressure of the mountain, but think about the perspective of the mountain. Because the mountain, yes, it may be miserable. Yes, the mountain is manageable. But by faith and trust in God, our mountains are movable. And I came today to encourage you, you mountain-moving believers, to speak to those mountains and have faith in a God who cannot fail. The word of God for the people of God. Blessed be to God.